Let's turn our Bibles to Romans chapter number 12 and verse number 16. Romans chapter number 12 and verse number 16. And if you're bodily able as to honor the word of God, we'll read one verse this morning to start us, and then we'll continue as the Lord directs. So if you're able to, Romans chapter number 12 and verse number 16, as you're making your way and finding that, let's also pray for Mrs. Fran, her granddaughter named Amara. And she's a 16-year-old, and they found something in her intestines that is causing a very, very serious health issue. So can we please do that in our minds? Maybe you want to write it down. I'll try to pray for it before we start the preaching here. Amara, 16-year-old, granddaughter of Miss Fran, all right? Pray for her health, specifically in her abdominal area, that would be healed. That's our prayer, and God will do what he can do. And so as you find yourself, please stand and let's read verse number 16, Romans chapter number 12 and verse number 16. And you're familiar with this. The Romans were Gentiles, and Paul, the penman, is a Jew, and he writes to the people that go to church in this particular area, in the Roman area. And so we find that he's talking to the church again, Romans chapter number 12. Been very emphasized lately here in our church. If you want to know about the church, Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, and Ephesians 4. But here we find Romans chapter number 12 and verse number 16. You found it, say amen. Amen. All right, it says, if you note with your eyes, I'm going to read it for you, just follow along. It says, be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend. And that word is not what it means today. Let's not be condescending, all right? That's not what it means today, and we'll talk about that as we continue. It says, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. All right? Let us pray. Lord, bless again, we ask, as we look in your word this morning, guide me as your mere instrument. I pray that I would be hidden and that you would be the one seen. And Lord, I pray for those that are listening. I pray that their ears and their hearts and their mind are inclined to what you have to say. Holy Ghost, bless us. I pray, move around the few. You know best. You know what people need. I don't. Lord, I'm just doing what you told me to do. I do pray especially today for Amara, and that she is struggling, Lord, with a health issue in her intestine. Lord, I pray you do specifically what you can and help her out, Lord, as she's very young, 16-year-old girl. I pray if she's not already saved, I pray that this situation would cause her to look to you and be saved, first of all. And Lord, I pray that you would heal her, we ask. And we hope, because you can, and you're a God that is a great physician, I know you will. Lord, I pray that you'd bless in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. As some of you note, my cup, you know what I mean. There. The people that know that got it. All right. Romans 12. There was an identity crisis this morning. That's what happened. Romans 12 and verse number 16. Be of the same mind one towards another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceit. I'm going to focus on that latter phrase. It says, be not wise in your own conceit. In the day of we live, knowledge is accessible, very easy. I can know anything I want with this device. Before, you couldn't. All right? You had to go on not knowing. But now, if somebody says something, like we were talking yesterday with somebody I know and love, we talked about that in places they eat monkey brain. And I was told that they try to eat them alive. And it's very cruel. Praise the Lord, I'm not from that country. But anyways, I looked it up and Googled it just to make sure. I'm Google proof. That means I know because the internet says so. And it says that they do such a thing. They do. And that's very brutal. And they actually even give you how to do it. And I will not describe for that for you because I don't want you getting any strange things in your head. But anyways, in our day and age, you can learn almost anything. YouTube has been revolutionary in the fact that at once, you didn't know how to change your tires. You can go and search how to change a tire. And there's going to be a ton of videos showing you. Some of them are good. Some of them ain't good. show you how to change your tires. All right? And so in that day and age, we find that knowledge is accessible and that people can gain wisdom very readily. Now, I want to use that in our platform here as we look at in the church function as brothers and sisters, as brethren in the church. Knowledge should be a tool we use, not a weapon we wield. We have to be careful of the things we know, and we have to use it in the right fashion. Just because we know a truth, and mind you, it is truth, it doesn't mean we have the right to just go ahead and do whatever we want with it. There is a wisdom that is from above that will teach us and show us how to appropriate those truths in individuals we live and have relationships with. I know some things to be true in Scripture about how my wife should behave. I don't want to ruin the weekend we've had. So I'm going to leave it there. From the laugh, that's a good sign. Shut your mouth. And I will. But there's some truth she knows about me as a husband that she can use as a tool to better a relationship or to have a devastating effect on our relationship. And as brothers in the church, it's not enough that we know things. It's that how we use it. And with what spirit we use it with. All right? And so I'm going to talk about that. And this idea, be not wise in your own conceit. Don't think you know it and just act without any advice, with any aspiration of anybody helping you come with a conclusion on how to approach a subject or a topic that might be very sensitive with an individual. A lot of times we think if we know something that the Bible says, we are known to know the truth. We are the people of the book. But we have a problem in how to use it. We come across very, very mean at times and very cruel. And the Bible has a solution, and it talks about it in the church. Just because you have knowledge, it doesn't mean it needs to come out of your mouth at this time. Even that gives you an idea of what we're going to talk about, all right? Because this will help us in this, what we're trying to do in this church, to be unified. We're trying to be in harmony with one another, and we're trying to be in agreement. Look at the verse again. The very first phrase that the Bible requires of us, and it's not a suggestion when you come to a church and your church family. For those that are new, we want to love you. We want to make you know that you are important to us. And we would like for you to feel that we are important to you as well. And so this is so vital. We have to learn how to use knowledge properly. And look what we find here. It says, be of the same mind one toward another. And that's the idea of harmony. And that's the idea of being in unity. All right? So I want to talk about on this subject, intellectual pride. That's the title of my message. We're going to talk about what that means. Intellectual pride. And that means that people pride themselves in knowing things and then in having wisdom. And by the way, make a point here. You should know things and you should have wisdom. That's go without saying. If you don't know things, you need to learn. Apply yourself to learning. Study to know, all right? But when you get to the point that you have been saturated and preached upon and been expounded upon with knowledge, there's a responsibility. Now, a lot of times we don't take upon ourselves, and we wield knowledge carelessly. You do have a double-edged sword, as the Bible is referred to as a double-edged sword. I'm learning to carry weapon, and I'm learning how to use it properly. Because it could be effective or ineffective just simply by not knowing how to wield it properly. It could be very effective. But imagine if I had a double-edged sword right now and I have no idea on the proper way to hold the sword. I might cut myself here before it's over. especially the way I move my hands. Correct? You have a precious tool that God has given you, and that is His truth. If you know truth, then you are responsible to use it and wield it properly. Do you understand each other? And so let us learn that. Now, the guiding principle and the thing that we should know about this truth is found here in verse number 9 of the same chapter. Romans chapter number 12 and verse number 9. You see a spirit that needs to be had in a group of people that are different from each other. And when I say unified, I don't want us to look alike. Please don't look like me. Look like you. But we agree on truths and principles of Jesus Christ. All right? That's what we want to be unified in. Not in the way we wear our clothes. Not in the way we do our haircuts. Not in the things we enjoy. Those will come naturally later. But the main point is that we agree upon the truth of the Word of God. If you're new today, we're going to preach from the Bible. And because that's what we believe to be true. And we invite you to join us in believing the truth. All right? And that's where we're going to do it. Romans 12 and verse number 9. You see a spirit here that is very needed for us to remain in agreement and to remain in unity and to have this harmony that I feel at times we've had a little bit of it lately. And I've been enjoying it. People are smiling again. People are talking to each other. People are cooperating. Some people have mentioned to me, I ask them and they do it. Whoa, that is so good. That is so good. Let's foster that. Let's make that. Yeah, let's rejoice in that. Let's keep stoking the fire of that. We should want to work together as a human, as a church. All right? Now, look at verse number 9. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Verse number 10, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. And this be your guiding principle, then to go on and try to create unity in the church. In fact, we need every member to aspire to unite. It's not just a few people that needs to unite. It's us, all of us, uniting. And so we need this. We need this love that the Bible talks about. We need this affection one to another. That is that I love to be with them. I love them. I want to do things with them outside of church. I want to go out to eat with them. I want to pick their brains on the things they enjoy. I want to go visit some places with them. I want to go bowling with them. I want to go golfing with them. I want to be with them. And we find when we have that brotherly love and we honor and prefer one to another, you find this very quickly. It's going to happen naturally. It'll come. You're careful on what you're saying to each other because your spirit is not to hurt anybody. Although if truth needs to be said, you need to say the truth. But the Bible says truth should be spoken of in love, not by itself. Grace and truth always follows. I say, preach today. I have to preach the truth. And at times I'm passionate, but I have to be able to season it with grace. I have to give you hope. I can't tell you a truth and leave you hanging and say, well, it's hopeless. I can't do what he's saying. No, the Bible is good to give you truth, but then it'll give you grace to anchor your faith in and hope. And you say, hey, what he said about that, I can actually do that. Guess what? I'm going to try with the Holy Ghost. And you see the result of that in your life. Are we still together? You're looking at me like, what is he talking about? These verses lay out the governing principle that should control us and help us in fulfilling the idea of an agreement and unity. Be of the same mind one to another. And go back to your verse 16. That's the goal of verse 16. And then it tells you two hindrances to that. And we're going to only deal with one. And maybe the next time the Lord leads me to preach, I'm going to dive on to the first one. Which let me just look at it So you notice, the first hindrance to us not being unified and in harmony and agreement, and this can go to your husband and wife, this can go to parents and children, this can go to any relationship that you have. And number one is that, mind not high things. Be relatable, all right? But condescend to men of low estate. I don't have time to deal with that. That's a whole subject and topic on itself, and I'll try to study that out, and I want to bring that in a message some point. But let's go to the next one, and it's right there. Be not wise in your own conceit, because by being that way, you hinder us being of the same mind one to another. You understand now, verse 16? All right. Look at some of the phrases we find, some of the verses. It's very few in Scripture. I'm going to give you to you. Majority of them, if not all of them, aside from here, you find it in the book of Proverbs. All right? Look at Proverbs 26 and verse number 5. Proverbs 26 and verse number 5. Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit. So we find people that are wise in their own conceit is relatable to a fool. Nobody wants to be a fool, including myself. Verse 12 of the same chapter. Look at it now. Proverbs 26 and verse number 12. Seest thou a man wise in his own conceit, there is more hope of a fool than of him. It compared us to a fool earlier. Now it says it's better that you're a fool than if you are a man or a woman that's given to your own conceit. Look at another verse, number 16 of the same chapter, Proverbs 26 and verse 16. The sluggard, the lazy one, the slothful one, and this is does not only mean in the physical realm. There's a lot of people that are industrious and entrepreneurs, and a lot of people are hard workers when it comes to going to work every day. But some of them even fail to be hard at work in their spiritual life. They neglect to grow as a Christian. They don't read their Bible. They don't pray. They don't have the discipline they have to go into work every day and doing the things that is good citizens would do, but they don't carry it over in their spiritual life. They're hardly in their Bible. They're hardly at church. So when it comes to sluggard and slothfulness, it doesn't just mean in the physical realm of you working hard, but it also means the spiritual side. Are you taking time to feed your soul? If you're here this morning, you did that. You came to get fed spiritually. And I'm doing my best. All right? I'm doing my best by God's help. Look at Proverbs. Let me finish Proverbs 26:16. A sluggard is wiser in his own conceit than seven men that can render a reason. Some people think it is knowledge that is required for people to change behavior. Our great Department of Education has done a great service of that. Let's just let them know how sex works. Let's just let them know what gender is about. Let's just take upon ourselves and educate them and bombard them with this knowledge. But the sad truth about it is, knowledge doesn't solve behavior. Although it starts with knowledge, you need to know some things before you can change. All right? Before I would change my attire, somebody had to say to me this morning, babe, that tie does not match with that shirt. That knowledge has to be acquired. And then I cannot be stubborn. And I must obey and change. And so I did. And thus, the bliss of weekend is still upon us. And I love it. It is not over yet. Praise be to God. And so, look at the stubbornness of some people. Seven men that can render a reason. What it's saying is, there's seven reasonable men with reason. With proof of reason to tell you, you ain't doing it right. And yet the sluggard says, ain't nobody changing me. What a rebel. I can say that right now and then I'm going to move on. But anyways, you see the detriment of somebody thinking they know better. And they don't want anybody else telling them what to do. If you're getting to the point in your Christianity where you can't be taught, ain't good. Guys, ain't good. It is not good. I don't care how old you are today. I don't care how old you are in the service of God. If you get to the place where you cannot be taught by the infallible, inerrant, holy, everlasting word of God, something is wrong. Something is wrong. And it's not wrong with the book. Guys, I'm still learning things. I've been in the ministry for a long time. I'm still learning things. And that's the reason why we don't get along. Because we think we know better than everybody else. And so God's saying to us, let's not be that. Let's not be wise in our own conceit. Let's not be stubborn. Seven men it takes for you to listen to a truth. Something is wrong. Especially if these men are reputable. Especially if these men are men of honor. Especially if these men know what they're doing. And they tell you, stop doing this, and you don't want to do it. It's just rebellion. It's just pure rebellion. There's nothing more, nothing less. Learn that in your mind. Intellectual pride, I define it as this. Being proud with our own knowledge and or wisdom. Wise in ourselves concerning things. I don't need anybody else to tell me how to do this. I know what I'm doing. It's the sin of the devil. It's the sin of the devil. This pride takes two forms, knowledge and wisdom. We can be proud of our knowledge or our wisdom. What I mean by that? People know a lot of knowledge. They're brilliant. They're smart. They're intellectual. They're intelligent. They know how to dissect a muscle group. And I'm not making fun of anybody in particular, but I'm just saying there's very smart people that can do amazing things I will never even dream of. I don't even know what they call it, those body parts that they have different names for. I'm a common man when it comes to those. I have no clue. If you want surgery done, don't ask me. I'll cut surely the wrong thing. But there's very brilliant people that can operate machinery, that can intellectually devise machinery that make our life easier. Thank you for whoever came up with a lawnmower. Thank you whoever came up with a refrigerator. Thank you whoever came up with a AC central air. Praise be to God. All I have to do is push a button, know what numbers mean. And I am cool when I want to be cool, and I am hot when I want to be hot. Praise the Lord. But a lot of times, those same brilliant people fall into the trap, like many of us, that we start to get proud about the things we know. And that's the danger here. There's nothing wrong for you to know things. In fact, know as much as you want. Some of you are history buffs. I can't even get to George Washington. I'm done. You can keep going. I'm like, I'm done, guys. George Washington, a dollar bill, is the first president. I'm smart. Leave me alone. I'm done. But you can go on and on and on and on and on and on. And be careful of what you know. And don't let it ever make you proud. Because God will look at you and say, can't use him. Can't use her. It's nothing wrong to know things. It is admirable. I want my kids to know algebra. So I don't have to. They need to know those things. It's good for them in life. To get a good education, get a good job, make it in life. There's nothing wrong with any of those things. But better not get proud about it. Some people don't know nothing. They've not been given the chance to have a proper education. But man, some people are full of wisdom. Man, they can make a garden bloom. They know how to work with their hands. They have some wisdom. They have some experience and knowledge. And they learn to put it together. And man, their garden looks wonderful. And your garden looks like it's hay. If Pastor Cole did not help us with procuring this, you would not have them to enjoy. Because I don't know what to do with them. He takes those blinds up and he puts them over there and lets the sun in. He'll tell me things like, let the sun hit them a little bit here and a little bit there. Where to hit the sun? Where's the sun's going to hit them? I don't know. And he knows that by wisdom. He might not put the car together, But my goodness, he knows some wisdom about farming, right? There's some people that's full of wisdom, and sometimes we take pride in that. I'm not as smart as you, but I know what I'm doing because I got some common sense. And we say that like in pride, and we have to be careful. We have to be careful. That's a good thing you have common sense. I hope, I wish that they teach that in education out there because they don't have it. But don't be careful that you have pride. Some of you are so knowledgeable with your Bible. You know what God says. But I'm afraid you don't have the wisdom and discernment to use it. And need to do that in our life. It's a tool. The half of the battle is to know it. The half of the other battle is how to use it. When my kids is doing this, bless God, I'm going to tell them right now. Did you pray about what you need to say to them? Did you pray about how to say it to them? Did you pray about when to say it to them? I've learned in marriage, I know some truths, but this is not the time to say it. Because I was foolish enough to think that I'm a preacher, and I know what God says, woman. This is what God says. And she throws it right back at me with more verses than I could muster. And I'm on my knees saying, God help me, I'm such a wicked man. This woman just preached the fire out of me. And so I learned to stop. I don't even argue with a preacher's daughter. The difference between wisdom and knowledge is simple. Knowledge is the gathering, the acquiring of facts. And that's important. Wisdom is the power and the capacity of applying knowledge. It's the ability to make use of the knowledge you've acquired. The more we know, this should be true, but it's not. The more we know, the wiser we should become. That should be the truth. The more we know, the wiser we should become. But sin gets in the way. And what happens is, something very, very good that's happening in us is we're getting knowledge, we're getting understanding, and we're getting wisdom, but then we throw it all away by using it improperly. And we cause problems with our fellow brethren. And so I want to talk about that today. Why should we not be intellectually proud? Why is the reason? I'll give you a few reasons why we should not be this way. We should not be wise in our own conceit. We should know what God says, and we should know how to be led by the Spirit of God and when to say some things and how to say some things. The Bible talks about that. Point number one, the reason why we should not be in our head, we feel that we're intellectually proud, is because it's rarely true. It's not true that you are that smart. There's a saying, a little learning is a dangerous thing. Because a little learning can lead a man or a woman to think he or she knows everything. Do you not notice that sometimes? I'm careful in discipleship because they get to learn some good things. And a lot of times they get excited. They get sealed without knowledge. And they run with it. And I'm like, whoa, slow down, buddy. There's more to that. But they got excited. And I don't want their excitement to go away. Some of us that have been in a long time, we should get excited again about them truths. But the ones that are not patient to learn why those things are being said and fully take it in and learn why, they make a lot of problems. In fact, there's a lot of good intention and a lot of good people that are intending good that actually hurt each other because they don't take time to acquire the knowledge and then learn proper wisdom. And so, at times, the little you know make you have a big head. Look at 1 Corinthians 8:1-12. 1 Corinthians 8:1-12. Now, as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. But here's something about knowledge that's scary. Knowledge puppeth up. But charity edifieth. Remember the verse we read in Romans, verse number, chapter 12, verse 9 and 10. What is the spirit you need to have? Love. Charity builds up. Knowledge puffeth up. Charity builds things and gives it substance. It's substantial. When charity is building, it's substantial. It's got weight on it. It is good. It is something you want. Whereas knowledge is an illusion of something good. It pops itself up. But you know what? You just get a pin or you get a needle or something sharp and you poke at it. There is no substance. And all you hear is, there's nothing there. Christians, when you're wielding knowledge and wielding your wisdom, not in the right proper order or the right way, you are like that balloon. And is that something you want? Or do you want something substantial? You want your life to be use of God to see people change in a substantial way, in a real way. And so be careful. Be careful. Look at this. It says that you're puffed up, but charity edified. Verse 2, and if any man think that he knoweth anything, look at the attitude. If you think you know something, intellectual pride, I know this, I have wisdom, I'm the smartest man in the room. It says to you, he knoweth nothing. That helps a little bit of our pride. He knoweth nothing, yet as he ought to know. That's the Bible. That's Paul, same person that God used to write the book of Romans, wrote the book of 1 Corinthians. When you're tempted to glory in what you know, just remind yourself of all the things you don't know. Because we relish in the fact of, I know this, I know that, I know this. Now start thinking about things you have no clue about. And how mighty and realization sets in, I just don't know as much as I thought I know. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, 12 to 14. Not as though I have already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after it that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. I don't count myself to have known everything. That's what it means. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. This is Paul's testimony of himself. Now, if you know Paul, he was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He was a brilliant man. He knew stuff. But he told us here, I have not attained all the knowledge I need. There is so much to attain, guys. There is so much to attain. And we realize we have so little of it. We don't know as much as we think we know. Can I say that? And that should humble us. That should humble us. We cannot pride ourselves in our knowledge and wisdom. Pause and think of the things you don't know. How vast is our ignorance? If we know so much, let me ask you this. Why do we still fail? If we know so much, why do we still fail in the things we attempt? Our failure should be a reminder to us to be humble. This ought to drive us towards the Lord. We need his wisdom and guidance in our lives. It should push us to dependency on God, and it should remind us we don't have it all together. And in doing so, we have grace and mercy to those around us that we feel like they don't have it all together either. And you learn that the only way we can get it all together is if we all rally together in Jesus Christ. The wisest of all men, who was he? Aside from Jesus that lived on earth, it was Solomon. But did he not act as a fool at times? Romans 1:22. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Stop being proud of how smart you are. Stop. Stop altogether. Be thankful that you have been given a gift of intellect. We can reason, we're not animals. We can reason things out. We can analyze facts. We can get truth. But don't ever come to the point in thinking you have arrived. Number two, why should we not be self-intellectually proud? Because it is not self-produced. All the knowledge that you've acquired in memorizing it, in acquiring it, most of us did not come with those truths. There's very few of us that were Einsteins that came up with principles that we didn't think of. Most of us repeat what we have been taught. We did not produce this. God was the one that gave us this wisdom. I don't have time to read it, but if you want to take time, read 1 Corinthians 3, 18 to 23. And God says he makes a wise move at our being wise. I don't have time to read it. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, 18 to 23. Number 3. Not only should we not be intellectually proud because it is not true, it is not self-produced, but it also because it causes us self-harm. Look at 1 Corinthians 8, 1 again. Knowledge puffeth up. Puffeth means it appears to be of substance, but it's only air. A man with true wisdom will also have charity. Now look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 13, 4 to 7. 1 Corinthians chapter number 13, verses number 4 to 7. We find that a person that is wise can also find that this word charity is a part of their life. Charity suffereth long. A wise person suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. It is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own. People that have intellectual pride seek admiration, seek applause, seek recognition. You see the difference here? When you are intellectually proud, full of yourself, you are not exercising what God's wisdom of charity. Doth not behave itself, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Verse number 6, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoicing in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Now, another reason why we should not be intellectually proud is not only does it cause us harm, but if it causes us self-harm, it will also cause others around us harm. And you find that in reading charity right here. We won't bear things. We won't believe things. We won't give people the benefit of the doubt. We would ignore them. We would refuse them. We wouldn't want them. They're not smart enough to be with us. 4, it causes others harm, right? A proud man is difficult to live with and behaves badly, which causes harm to those around him. Have you ever been with somebody that's full of it? Do you want to be with them? No. Number 5, not only in those things, but number 5, it puts us in danger when we're intellectually proudful. It puts us in danger. Proverbs 16, verse 18. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. 1 Corinthians 10, 12. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. It puts you on dangerous ground when you think you know it. Because you're going to get in big trouble, and destruction is at the door. Galatians 6, 3. For if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. You're in disillusion. You're in disillusion. We played a game last night, and then one of the cards says, it says, have you proved that you're not insane before you can get out of an insane asylum? And that is a person that is full of pride. They think they know everything. They are in their own prison of insanity. And they have to prove themselves, I don't know it all, before they can get out of it. Are you too smart for your own britches? Are you too smart that you can't cooperate with anybody else? Are you too smart you can't have an authority tell you what to do? Something is wrong, Christian. And that is one of the reasons God brings up in Romans 12, verse 16, why we can't be unified. Guess what? We need to do some humbling. I love that you're smart. We need it. I love that you have wisdom. We need it. But don't be proud about it. Use it as a tool. Not as a weapon. It is not you to compare to us and say, I'm more than you'll ever be. I got it all together. Let me tell you a few things. And that's the attitude. That's not a Christian attitude. Jesus never did that with me. And he got it all together all the time. He doesn't treat me like that. Often when we think we know what's right, we are tempted then to put ourselves in authority to tell others how they should act. We set ourselves to judge when we should not. And let me mind you this. In Matthew 7, verses 1 to 2, I'll give you a glimpse of what I face as the pastor of the church, as the authority of this place. And you see the responsibility I bear. And I double dare you. I double dare you to want it too. And I'll tell you why. Look at what it says. It says in Matthew 7, 1 to 2, Jesus in red said, "Judge not that ye be not judged, for with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure you meet, it shall be measured you again." If you set a standard for other people because you think you know better than them, and you're going about to tell them what's right and wrong in their personal life, you have no business telling them, only the word of God can, and only the proper authority in their life. Some of us thinking to be a pastor when we ain't a pastor. That ain't your wife. That ain't your home. Let the Father deal with that one. I do that. I try not to do and go over bounds in authority. Wives, I can't. Your husband is your authority at home. And so may I say this. The great responsibility of anybody in the scripture that is made to judge is this. You know the great responsibility? I have to answer to God for the way I judge the situation. Every single one. Would you want that? Would you want that? Who wants that? If you don't want it, then don't give advice until you know full well God is leading you to do so. Because it's a grave responsibility. It's a grave responsibility. Anything I preach to you in this pulpit, God and the Lord Jesus will say someday, "Chris Barron, you pastored from this time, and I don't know when end," he knows. He's going to tell you, "You preach this message. Why? That message cost this, this, and this." And hopefully it's good things that cost it. But he's going to ask me, "Why? Do you want that responsibility?" Then be careful how you proclaim judgment on each other. We're so flippant with our words with each other. I'm saddened by that, guys. We should not give conclusive judgment on every situation that we barely know about. We don't even know the whole thing. Yet we think we do, and so we, ba-bam! That's how I feel about it. And I'm like, what? Do you not care? You just did something stupid. I'm careful, guys, to proclaim truth. Because I don't know everything that's going on in your life. Only God does. He's the only one that can make the proper judgment. And so be careful, because it'll hurt us in our relationship with each other. Let God be the judge, and let him use the authorities he has ordained to represent him through his word. And by the way, as a pastor, I don't have any authority if I go outside the word of God. That's why I have verses and verses and verses and verses and verses. I'm telling you, verses. This is from the Bible. This is from the Bible. It's not me saying it. It's what God says. Because Chris Barron, outside from the word of God, has no authority in your life whatsoever. That's why if you don't, you're not a member of this church, technically I have no authority over you. So if you're thinking about membership, let's talk about it. Let God be the judge. James 3:1, "My brethren, be not many masters, knowing what we shall receive the greater condemnation." See, us that bear the authority know the weight of the responsibility. You don't have to answer for Philip. You don't have to answer for Micah. You don't have to answer for Abigail. You don't have to answer for Mariah. You don't have to answer for my wife. I do. You don't have to answer for all the members of this church. Pastor had to when he was the pastor. But now I do, starting 20 days ago. I don't know how many days now. Are we counting still? 21 days. Another reason why not to be intellectually proud is that it makes us unlike Christ. We don't represent who he truly is, because he was not this way. Look at Matthew 11:29. "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am proud and haughty in heart." I can tell you a few things. Why is your haircut like that? What's wrong with you? Why are you wearing that? What's wrong with you? That's not what it says. My Jesus that I love because he first loved me said this to me. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And ye shall find rest. The people that promote unity and harmony and agreement, do you not see the result of it? And the result of it is peace. Who wants peace in the church? Who does? I do. I want it so bad. I hope you do too. I want it in my home. I want it with my children. And then we need to do what God says. We need not to be proud about what we know. And we need not to be proud about what wisdom we have. But we should know things. We should have wisdom in things. And then know how to use it appropriately. And you know how we do that? Let the Holy Spirit guide you. You know, when I'm going soul winning, I'm careful to what he's going about to say. Because I know verses in my head. I know, man, this guy, I know the right verse for him. I'm going to do it. And the Holy Spirit says, I'm out. Dude, if you say that, this is what will happen. Stop saying that. Say this verse. All right? Holy Spirit, I'm going to do it. Oh, wow. That conversation and confrontation that was very difficult went really well. Because I listened to the guiding force of my life, and that's the Holy Ghost. Are you listening to him today? Or you just know what God says and you're just going to just, it's just like somebody that just got a gun. And he said, I don't know what I'm doing, but man, this thing can do some stuff. Boom, 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 boom. Oh, I'm sorry, I just blasted your face. It's okay. I don't mean to. This is a powerful weapon, can be wielded very wrongly. And so you need to learn. You need to be guided. You need to be taught by the Holy Ghost. A lot of us are excited to do something for God. Then be excited in this. Be trained by God. And God uses people to train you. I'm glad I wasn't too wise that I paused. And when Pastor said at times, said, don't do this, I didn't understand why. And I was like, what does he think he... Well, you know what? I learned. That's why I didn't do it. Travis, when I worked with him, he said, don't do this. And I said, what is wrong with this Texan? What is he? And then I waited and patient and I learned. That's why. Some of you just have to take us at our word, not just because we're saying it, but you see our life behind it. You see the experience Pastor Cole had for 40 years, guys. If that man says something to you, it's worth noting. At least worth noting. Do you understand what I mean by that? He's not God. He doesn't know everything. He'll tell you, and I'll tell you, I will make mistakes in judging a situation in your personal life. But thank you for trusting us, because there are going to be times that I'm going to make the right call. You're going to like it. John 8:28. You still there? You guys all looking so good. Then said Jesus unto them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you shall know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father had taught me, I speak these things. You see the humility of Jesus Christ? He is the God of heaven. He's deity. He's Jesus Christ. He's the Almighty. He's the everlasting Father. He is the Prince of Peace. And look at what he says, that an incarnate man of God, Jesus Christ, as a Son of God incarnate, meaning he was in flesh and lived with us, he had enough audacity and enough wisdom in his mind to say this to you. I'm not speaking only of myself. I'm speaking of what God says. And then we have the audacity to just, boop. Is that from God, sis? Did you pause to think that was the way God wanted to handle that situation? Husband, was that really what God wanted in that situation with your wife? Parents, was that really God's way of dealing with that problem in your child? Have you thought about it? It's not just knowing. There's more to that. It's knowing how to use what you know. All right? He is the perpetual rebuke to any man that would be tempted to be wise in their own conceit. God of heaven rebukes all of us because he was a meek and lowly man as he served mankind on earth. I don't have time to preach this part of the sermon, maybe another time. I want to conclude us today and make a plea to everyone that's here. A lot of you know a lot of things. You grew up in church. You know what God says about salvation. You know what God says about baptism. You know what it means to be a church member. You know what it means. Can I ask you something? Can I ask something of you? Before you use the Word of God, would you ask the Holy Ghost if that's the right way to do it? Would you ask Him to direct you in the next confrontation you're going to have, in the next situation you're going to be in? Could you ask Him to maybe that's the right words to say? A lot of times we think this, and it's a false truth in our own mind. Sometimes we think, well, I know better, so I'm just going to do it. Yeah, I understand you know better. But God is working on that person you might be talking to that don't know better. And God has a better way. God has a better way. Some of us are letter of the law. I'm sad for you. I am so sad for you. If you are given to the letter of the law, you're going to have a hard time practicing what I'm preaching today. You're going to have a hard time practicing this truth. Because my God, yes, He fulfilled the law. You know how He fulfilled it? By loving us. That's how He did it. He fulfilled the law by loving us. He died on the cross to be our substitute and paid completely the law. Now He's asking us, with the same treatment I've treated you, with the same love and compassion and mercy I treated you, and how careful I was and how gentle I was to give you truth that will be hard to take at times, but it's needed for you, and how so masterful I did, how skillful I was in how I presented to you. And some of you still got mad at me, Jesus said. But yet, in carefulness, because I love you so much, I'm doing this. He's saying to every Christian here that knows the Bible and that has wisdom in the Bible, execute the same love and attitude with one another. Guys, I'm learning as a pastor, God is getting things done by me simply coming across to people and I'm letting them know, I'm just like you. Come. Come to me. Come to me. I don't know any greater news and truth than you have heard learned from the scripture. Come to me. Let me give you time to express your woes. Let me give you time to express the things you're disappointed about. Let me give you time to tell me your grievances. And all I'm going to do to you with as most kindness as I can, I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not going to flatter you. I'm not going to give you something you don't need. I'm going to give you something you really need. But I'm going to do it as kind as I possibly can. And some of you have noticed that about me. And I'm not trying to be proud. That's what we should be doing with each other. If somebody comes to you and say, this is a situation in my life, guard it first of all. Don't tell everybody else. Be confidential. Tell the right people. Pray about it. And with that most power from the Holy Ghost, love those people. And talk to them like you want to be talked to. Oh yeah, they didn't raise their children right. I understand that. They know that too. They don't need to hear you preach to them how they didn't raise their children right. They need some hope now. They need some hope during this time. And be a giver of hope. Don't lie. Don't flatter them. Give them the truth that is pertinent to that situation in their life. Some people are struggling with their marriage. I can't fix it. I have no human ability to fix any marriage. But I know some things of the book. And I'm going to wield the sword as your pastor the best I know how. And I'm going to tell you up front, I'm going to be as kind as I can possibly be. Because I love you. And I want you to make it. You know how if we had that spirit amongst each other and we're not catty and we don't have an attitude with one another, you know how it would revolutionize our fellowship with one another? And God would bless this church. God would just say, hey, in Eden, New York, there's a few people that really love each other. Let's just drive all the people there. Let's just have them max exodus. Get them to that place because they're going to get loved. Do you want to be those people that God will use to see somebody walk that door and God revolutionize their life. I do. I'm praying for it. I'm wanting it so bad. I'm wanting God to change you. I'm wanting God to change me. Do we want that? We can't be proud about it. We can't. Maybe you need to go to a brother today in private and say, hey, I've been catty with you. I've had an attitude with you. I shouldn't. We should love each other. And I don't know how to do it right now, but I'm letting you know I want to do it with you. Maybe there'll be something that happens that we can explain and God only gets the credit. Let's pray. Lord, we are so blessed. Help us not to be wise in our own conceit. Let us not be wise in our own conceit. As the pianist here finds a song for us this morning, you might be saying, I need to talk to God about this message. You can do that at your seat. No pressure. But we do have an altar for people to want to come up and make it a way that they show God that they mean business. Not that if you do that in your seat, you don't mean business. But if you want, as the piano plays, maybe you can make your way in the front and say, God, I need to stop being proud about what I know. And I need wisdom to guide me on how to care for some people today. Maybe you say, I'm so apathetical at times, Lord, I don't even know who to care for. Maybe you're the one to say, God, put somebody in my life that you will want me to care for and encourage me. There's people coming in the front. If you want to come to the front and make some decision, you can. It's time now. Time is now. We're going to be done here in a few minutes. Make your way to the front if you want to come. Now I got to plead for those this morning that might not know Jesus Christ as their Savior. What I mean is that if your life is over, you have no assurance 100% you're going to heaven. You don't know for sure. But you see, Jesus came for that very reason, because he wants you to know for sure. He said, these things have I written to you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life. You said, that's me. Nobody's looking around for privacy's sake. We're respectful of each other. Eyes are closed. Heads are bowed. And you're that person. You say, Pastor Chris, that's me. I want to know Jesus Christ as my Savior. I don't know for sure, but I want to. You're that person. Just raise your hand quickly. Nobody's looking. You're that person. And you say, I don't know for sure. I'm going to heaven, but I want to know. And could you please pray for me? Anybody like that? All right, we're going to pray. And maybe, as I pray, pray it in your heart. Do you want unity? Then we need some humility. You want unity? We need some humility. Let us pray together. In Jesus' name I ask, bless our church. Help us not to be proudful in what we know. Help us to know how to use it in a loving way. Stern, firm to the truth, non-compromising, but loving. Bless our day in Jesus' name. Amen.